January 1, Happy New Year. We're starting new devotionals this year. The first one is The Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday. And the next one is A Year with C.S. Lewis. And then the last one is Jesus Calling Sarah Young. So I'm just going to dive right in. So January's theme for The Daily Stoic is clarity. And so the first heading for January 1, control and choice. The chief task in life is simply this: to identify and separate matters so that I can say clearly to myself which are externals, not under my control, and which have to do with the choices I actually control. Where then do I look for good and evil? Not to the uncontrollable externals, but within myself to the choices that are my own. Epictetus, Discourses. The single most important practice in Stoic philosophy is differentiating between what we can change and what we can't, what we have influence over and what we do not. A flight is delayed because of weather. No amount of yelling at an airline representative will end a storm. No amount of wishing will make you taller or shorter or born in a different country. No matter how hard you try, you can't make someone like you. And on top of that, time spent hurling yourself at these immovable objects is time not spent on the things we can change. The recovery community practices something called the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now the rest of the prayer, which is not in this book, is living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. I love that prayer. So that's the rest of the prayer. Amen. Back to the book. Addicts cannot change the abuse suffered in childhood. They cannot undo the choices they have made or the hurt they have caused, but they can change the future through the power they have in the present moment. As Epictetus said, they can control the choices they make right now. The same is true for us today. If we can focus on making clear what parts of our day are within our control and what parts are not, we will not only be happier, we will have a distinct advantage over other people who fail to realize they are fighting an unwinnable battle. A Year with C.S. Lewis is next. Supposing we really found him. It is always shocking to meet life where we thought we were alone. Look out, we cry. It's alive. And there. Therefore, this is the very point at which so many draw back. I would have done so myself if I could, and proceed no further with Christianity, an impersonal God, well and good, a subjective God of beauty, truth, and goodness inside our own heads, better still. A formless life force surging through us, a vast power which we can tap best of all. But God himself, alive, pulling at the other end of the cord, perhaps approaching at an infinite speed, the hunter, the king, husband, that is quite another matter. There comes a moment when the children who have been playing at burglars hush suddenly. Was that a real footstep in the hall? There comes a moment when people who have been dabbling in religion, man's search for God, suddenly draw back. Supposing we really found him, we never meant it to come to that. Worse still, supposing he has found us, that he has found us. and that's from Miracles. January 11, Lewis, age 12, enrolls in Cherbourg Preparatory School in Malvern. So the structure of these readings are that you get an excerpt from one of his great works, and then at the bottom there's little notes from his life. So that's how that devotional goes. All right. So, and now we come to Jesus Calling. And a lot of people love this book, and I am reluctant to love it. There are parts of it that I really enjoy, but one thing which is my pet peeve is the fact that Sarah Young uses first person. And people, writers, do this all the time, where they'll use first person and assume that they are a specific character. But this is our Lord. This is our Master. I'm not going to assume that I'm Him. And I'm also going to be cautious for those who do. However, I don't think that's her intention here. And I know you'd probably don't want to hear my opinions on all of that, but I will try to read this and change the pronouns for my own reasons. If you don't like it, you know, maybe this is the section that you don't listen to. January 1, come to Him with a teachable spirit, eager to be changed. A close walk with Him is a life of continual newness. Do not cling to old ways as you step into a new year. Instead, seek His face with an open mind, knowing that your journey with Him involves being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you focus your thoughts on Him, be aware that He is fully attentive to you. He sees you with a steady eye because His attention spans infinite. He knows and understands you completely. His thoughts embrace you in everlasting love. He also knows the plan He has for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Give yourself fully to this adventure of increasing attentiveness to His presence. And then there's the Bible readings, which are back in regular pronouns. And you can tell that I'm halting, but I think as the year goes on, I'll get better at it. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's Romans 12:2. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to you to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11.